Our reading comes from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. And you can find this on page 4 of the New Testament section of the Good News Bible. The escape to Egypt. After the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. I called my son out of Egypt. When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. A sound is heard in Ramah. The sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream. So he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
The carols have been sung. The tinsel is looking a little weary on the tree now. Cards are flying around the edges. Now you can hear me. The turkey has been transformed into sandwiches, curries, and many other things, I'm sure. The nut roast in our vegan household is still to appear. We had vegan sausages on Christmas Day. Jollity, joviality, singing and dancing, laughing and playing are all over. Christmas has been done and dusted. Jesus was born in the manger. The angels sang their alleluias and their glory to God in the highest. Bells rang out in churches all over the land. And in some places, fireworks were set off. 2019 has come and gone. And now it's 2020. And what a joyful reading we're faced with at the start of a new year. It's back to the real world. It's being brought down to earth in a big way. What exactly is going on? There were celebrations aplenty when the Christ child was born. Shepherds came to the stable. Wise men from the east appeared following a star, searching for the God-man, the anointed one, the holy one, the new king. And that's where the trouble begins. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Hang on a second. Hang on a minute. What's going on? Is the response of the king and the capital city. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. It's the standard response, isn't it, when authority is challenged. Who is daring to take over my kingdom? The world's rulers are always nervous of anything new, always worried about change, always concerned about anything that might cause ripples in the world that they know and control. And it's all about control, isn't it? As long as I am in control, then everything is fine. But as soon as my control is threatened, I get nervous, weak, unsettled. Herod is rattled. He hasn't fathered a child. No one that he knows is expecting a baby in the royal family. So what are these travelers on a... Is there something there that we need to think about in terms of our response as well? How do we treat travelers? How do we deal with people who come into our social circles who do not share the same values we have? These people studied the stars. I don't know about you, but star signs in newspapers are one of those things that I completely ignore. So why should I pay attention to these stargazers? Are they any different from those who write in our newspapers and magazines telling us we need to be careful about financial investments today, or whatever it might be? This week will be a good week for you if you're looking for love. Herod is rattled so much that when he learns that the Magi have headed back another way and they do not return to tell him where the child is, he sends in the troops. Is this another place where we should take stock this year in 2020? How often as a country has our response been to send in the troops? What is it that determines how and when we respond to crisis in certain ways? And how are our perspectives in the world coloured? How has the response to the wildfires in Australia compared to the response and coverage of the typhoon in the Philippines over the Christmas period? Have you compared the death toll from both? Check it out if you're able to and ask yourself what that tells us about the relative importance of different lives in our world today. That's not in any way to belittle the tragedy that's going on in Australia at the moment, but just to try and encourage us to have a wider perspective on what's happening. Whose world are we living in? Who's telling us the stories that appear on the news? Did any of you hear that 29 people in Sudan were sentenced to death this week? Herod is rattled. He sends in the troops. He gives orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity. The slaughter of the innocents. And how often does that happen in our world as well? It's the innocent ones that are so often the victims. These babies, young children, were just born in the wrong place at the wrong time. And their punishment is death. Killed by a king worried that one of them may be after his kingdom. Tragedy. Appalling behavior. And yet today, look at the world we live in and what do we see? Children still exploited and children in danger. UNICEF this week published an article on their website saying that at present we're at the time of the biggest child refugee crisis since World War II. There are more child refugees in Europe than at any point since the end of the Second World War. Children are still suffering. Children are still exposed to abuse, to war, to hatred. And our reading today speaks of Jesus being a refugee, being taken to Egypt. It speaks of children being put at risk. Herod kills several. I must admit that I was astonished when I read one commentator talking about this part from Matthew this week, saying that because Bethlehem was a small village, this may only have been 20 or 30 children that were killed. Only 20 or 30 children that were killed. One child is one too many, in my view. The reading speaks of a return to Mary and Joseph's homeland, and then maybe them not being able to go where they would like to go, they head off to Galilee. Put yourself in the Jesus story for a moment or two. How would you be feeling if you'd been moved around several places in the early part of your life? Would you know anything about it at that stage? Or would you simply be hearing about the stories about what happened as you grew up? Do you know, Jesus, that because we had you in Bethlehem, all the boys born there at that time were killed? Do you know, Jesus, that we had to run away to Egypt because an evil king was trying to get hold of you? Do you know, Jesus, that we had to live here because another nasty king was in charge of the place we wanted to live? Christ, we had to live in Southampton when we wanted to be in London. I come from Southampton, so it's all right for me to say things about Southampton. So at the start of the new year, we find ourselves confronted with the challenge of reality. The real world as it actually is, rather than some kind of fantasy world that we may have created for ourselves. How do we face reality as Christians? How do we cope with what will be the challenges of 2020 for us as individuals, maybe, for us as families, for us as a church? Mary and Joseph, I suspect, probably found comfort in one another. Jesus, as he grew up and began his ministry, gathered a group of folk around him with whom he shared his whole life. And I wonder if that's the right place for you and me to start. What do we know about one another? How can we help each other to be better followers of Jesus Christ this year? Can we deal with the challenges that we have by actually sharing with one another our fears and our worries, our concerns, as well as our joys and those times when we want to celebrate? Can we stand up together against the problems and the injustices that we see around us in the world? I think that we can, but it will probably take a bit of work for all of us. Are we ready to work for God's kingdom to come in Enfield?